Thank you for tuning in to the Helium Radio Network. You are listening to a rebroadcast of a previously recorded show.
What I tell people, as well as myself, is that, you can do hard things and it's going to be uncomfortable, but that's okay because you're going to be unstoppable.
That's certified life coach Bill Perry, and this is Healthcare Confidential. I'm your host, Teresa Jacob Ellis, bringing innovators and experts together. And this week, it's not to talk about the healthcare system, but instead to focus on individual well-being. Phil Perry is a master of reinvention of herself. She's held numerous careers, beginning her professional life as an accountant, then pivoting to human resources roles at major corporations and healthcare entities, before making a major life shift and becoming a tour director. Along the way, she also became certified in neuro-linguistic programming and hypnotherapy, as well as becoming a certified life coach. So with all of that, Phil can help you create your bucket list and come along for the ride as you finally take those amazing trips that are on your list. Phil, welcome to the podcast and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So before we talk about the work that you do with life coaching, I'm curious to learn about your personal journey. After more than 20 years in corporate jobs, you decided to make a major life shift. What led you to that?
You know, I had a great career in human resources, and I got to do a lot of cool things, meet wonderful people, but it just got to a point where I felt as though I was always saying no to people. Sorry, it's against company policy, against the law, the insurance company won't let us do it, and so on. And I thought, I just want to say yes to people. And my son was graduating college and launching into the world, and it seemed as though this was my time to do what I wanted to do. And so I ended up going off to San Francisco to a program to get certified as a tour director.
How did you land upon travel as your next stage? Was travel always a passion of yours?
You know, it's funny. Most people in my profession would tell you yes, but for me, it was really about wanting to give people joy. And I thought, you know, people have to deal with such hard things in their everyday life. And wouldn't it be great when they go on a vacation, they can have a great time, I can help them cross items off their bucket list. And so that is my why. And anytime I was having a rough day, I would go back to, why am I doing this? And it's because I really want to help somebody bring joy and create memories. And if somebody came to me at the end of the trip and said, thank you so much, this was on my bucket list, that's the best compliment that I could get.
That sounds fantastic. And of course, working in HR, you're probably not bringing a lot of joy or creating memories for people, right?
You know, when I first got into it from accounting, it seemed, you know, it's very people oriented. And it was at a time when I was actually able to create programs for employees. And so I just love that. I love leading teams and I loved making the workplace better. So, you know, I think the theme for me has always been about people.
I'm just curious because as somebody who also has spent many decades in highly matrixed healthcare organizations, it can be difficult to step away from that kind of environment. So many of us, and I'm speaking on my own behalf at this point, sort of define ourselves by our jobs, right? Our career. And it's the first question that you ask sometimes when you meet somebody, what do you do? So was that a difficult transition for you?
It was in terms of going from something very structured to something that I had to create structure for myself, but also the label that you're talking about. Yes, because you know, you read a lot about imposter syndrome, and that's also something that as a coach I can help my clients with. But you know, when you're brand new at something, especially when you're older, you know, it takes you a while to step into that, and you have this period of time when you really have to think about who you're going to be because you're not quite there yet.
Yeah, and especially after being in a career for a number of years, you achieve a certain level of competence and expertise, right? And then you step out of it and you're no longer the expert. Now you're the newbie. And that is a whole different, maybe uncomfortable place for people to be.
It's definitely an uncomfortable place to be. And what I am learning in my life, and I think it's true for so many people, is that if you want to grow, you have to step out of your comfort zone and you have to be uncomfortable and you have to learn how to be uncomfortable. And so now what I tell people as well as myself is that, you can do hard things and it's going to be uncomfortable, but that's okay because you're going to be unstoppable.
And that's probably more of a true message or an authentic message coming from you because you've lived it.
I have.
So tell us some stories. I'm sure that as a tour director, and then I want to talk more about life coaching, but I'm really interested in what you're doing on the road. Tell us some stories that might illustrate how really being on that tour bus and working with groups of people might have brought together some of your skills that you honed in HR or even accounting or in your previous roles.
Yes. Yeah, so I had this one group and it was early in the morning and we left Zion National Park and we got stuck in the middle of nowhere. They were paving the road or something. And here we are in this traffic jam, just sitting there. And, you know, of course, when you're a tour director, you right away think about your schedule and how this is going to mess up your day. But, you know, everybody's sitting there and I had done some commentary, but now what, right? So I ended up, and since the motor coach wasn't moving, I put on some music. And I started dancing and got some of the people, and you know, most of them are seniors on these trips, and got them to start dancing. And we took videos, and it was so much fun. And it just lightened the mood, made the time pass, and had people bond together. You know, part of what's really great about leading tours is you create community among strangers. And that's what happened on this tour. And, you know, interestingly enough, this particular group was turned out to be a very close-knit group. And so one of the oldest people on the tour, he was in his 90s, retired dentist, and everybody just loved him. He was one of the ones that danced. And he, we got an email that he had passed away, you know, like a year later. And all I could remember, and all the emails went around the group about how he danced, you know, in the bus with his sweetheart. So it's just a great memory to have created for someone and to have.
And so you said you were all sharing emails. Do you stay in touch with people that you take on tours? Is that typical?
We, you know, for anybody that wants to share their email, I always send out a group photo and the email list. And so people often will stay in touch and say hi.
Nice. That sounds like a really special and very different life than working in a corporate 9-to-5 job.
It's definitely very rewarding.
And it's a 24/7 gig when you're on a tour.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some other amazing places that you've been to? I'm looking at your virtual background of the Grand Canyon right now, and it looks beautiful. I wish I was there.
Yeah. So my favorite place is to go are the national parks. And I especially love Yellowstone. And if for anybody listening who hasn't been to Yellowstone, I highly recommend that you get there at some point, put it on your bucket list, you know, because as Americans, you know, unlike some other countries, you know, that where all the best places are for the richest people, we own these parks. We get to go to them. It's a privilege we have being citizens of the U.S. And they're so beautiful. And you know, when you go there, you get to see the good parts of our country.
That sounds amazing. And are you seeing now with as the COVID vaccines begin to roll out more, is there more of an interest in domestic travel? Are you starting to see that tick up a little bit?
Yeah, so I work for a big travel company, and I'm not currently personally leading tours yet, but they say that yes, everybody wants to start traveling. Yeah.
And I would imagine, I mean, COVID-19 has affected everybody. I don't think there's anybody that hasn't felt some impact in one way or another, from the extremely profound to the even the smallest shift in our lives and our lifestyles. But do you think, and maybe this branches over into your work as a life coach as well, that you mentioned the word bucket list a couple times. I mentioned it in my intro. Do you think that COVID has made people more inclined to think in terms of what is it that they really want to accomplish with their lives?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people are thinking, where do they want to travel? What haven't they seen? Are they in the right career? Are they with the right person?
And all of that is are questions that you can perhaps work with people on in your work as a coach.
Definitely.
So tell us a little bit more about the coaching. How does that work? What kinds of clients? You don't call them patients, you call them clients?
We call them clients.
And so what kind of clients do you typically work with?
So I can work with anybody, but I would say, my sweet spot would be women who really just, they want more in their lives, and they might be afraid to get it, and everybody's fear is different, but I can give you a few examples of things.
Sure.
So somebody is afraid to speak in meetings. They're afraid that they're going to look stupid, or what they have to say, isn't as important as everybody else. We can work on some, I've worked on things like that with people. A lot of people want to exercise. They can't get motivated. They need help with the motivation and accountability. Somebody might be interviewing for a job and they're lacking confidence, and they need help just getting their head and their mindset in the right space. Somebody might have a fear of public speaking, taking tests, driving. I've worked with people on things like that. Another big thing is being overwhelmed, balancing work and family. We can work on the overwhelm. Also, a lot of women feel guilty taking time for themselves. So that's another thing we can work on. I had somebody who was afraid to post on social media for her business. She was afraid of being judged. We worked on that. Another issue, one time, all your friends that I worked with somebody, all her friends were getting married, and she was judging herself based on the fact that she wasn't with anybody. So that's another thing. Bad habits like nail biting, over snacking, and the list just goes on and on. It's really anything.
I'm hearing a lot of issues that sound like people have hit a roadblock in their lives, right? It's something that they need to get past to get to the next place. Is that a common theme, do you think? Is that a common thing that drives people to seek out the services of a coach?
Yes. And a lot of times they don't realize why they're blocked, and they just need help realizing. And I love, one of the reasons, I was telling you my why for tour directing, for coaching, my why is I love helping somebody get a breakthrough and seeing that look on their face. And a lot of times there could be a part of us that is just afraid to do something. It's protecting us, and we don't even realize what's going on. And with the life coaching, we just, we work on that. And, I ask a lot of powerful questions. I do use the NLP or neuro-linguistic programming. I'm certified in hypnosis, but a lot of times it's just really powerful questioning that the person just never thought of it that way. And I like to say, and this is a kind of a funny analogy because of COVID, but many of us, we we could cut and color our hair. You know, some of us had to do it this last year, but it's not something we really want to do, right? We're not that good at it. So, you know, similarly with coaching, maybe you could figure these things out on your own, but when you've got somebody there questioning you in a different way, you know, helping you with your mindset and action steps and accountability, you know, it's so much more effective.
First of all, I thought you were looking at my hair when you were saying that. Because I've definitely been a little bit, spent too much time in the DIY camp over the last few months. But I'm curious as to the difference between coaching and therapy, because some of these issues, particularly the phobias that you talk about, the fear of doing driving or certain things like that, someone may seek help from a therapist for those kinds of issues. So how are you different and how is your approach different from that that a therapist might take?
Yeah, definitely. So, and as a coach, you know, anything that is in the therapy realm, I would definitely suggest someone would go to a therapist. And so therapists focus a lot more on the past, whereas with coaching, we don't really do that. And, you know, and if anybody had any kind of depression or addiction or anything like that, they would definitely go to a therapist and not a coach. With the coaching, you know, coaches believe that you already have all of the inner resources that you need to solve a problem. And we help you, you know, just kind of dig deep to get that. But we, you know, we're much more focused on now and the future and using resources and strategies. And I like to say another analogy that I'm a little bit like a flashlight. So, you know, where you shine the light, it's already there. You just need to find it. And, but you're holding the flashlight and you decide where you want to shine the flashlight.
That's great. And I want to talk more about the coaching and your particular approach and what NLP involves. But first we need to take a brief break. So don't go anywhere because we'll be back with more from Phil Perry.
Healthcare Confidential is brought to you by Prescriptive Communications, LLC. Analyze, strategize, connect. That's our prescription for healthcare marketing. Prescriptive Communications puts healthcare businesses in front of the audiences they need to reach. If you're ready for a diagnostic on your marketing efforts, get in touch with Prescriptive today. Call us at 631-606-0525 or visit prxcommunications.com. That's 631-606-0525 or prxcommunications.com.
Welcome back to Healthcare Confidential. We're here with Phil Perry, life coach, talking about reinventing yourself personally and professionally and the ways in which a life coach can help you shine a light maybe on some hidden areas of your life and areas that you may be getting stuck. So you were talking a little bit about NLP, neuro-linguistic
programming.
And can you tell our listeners what that is and how that works as a tool in life coaching?
Yeah, so it has to do in a nutshell with the way your brain processes communication. And there are three main ways, and a lot of us are stronger in one of the three. So for example, there's visual, there's auditory, and then there's kinesthetic, which is feeling. And so if you can get the person to talk a little bit about those, you know, those things, and you understand how their brain is processing, a lot of times you can change it. So I'll give you an example. Somebody wants to lose weight. You know, they're going to be going to a wedding, maybe in a wedding party. They want to fit into a dress. They want to exercise, but they're tired at the end of the day and laying on the couch, right? And so, you know, maybe the person is, when they're laying on the couch, you know, they're just seeing themselves as, you know, they have this picture in their head as like being, you know, overweight and so on, and a poor body image, and that's what they're picturing, and they're thinking like, why bother, right? And so when you figure out what that image is, and then maybe there's another image that they can replace it with, like looking great in this dress, you know, and maybe they already know what the dress looks like, and they're picturing how, what, you know, their friends and family are going to say, wow, you know, you look great, and they're going to feel great. And so with NLP, you just use some techniques to switch the picture that's in their head.
And, you know, that's obviously somebody who has a visual way of processing.
Yeah. And if it's auditory, it could be, you know, what they're hearing, and what they're hearing might be their own voice. It might be a teacher's voice, you know, saying, you know, I'm no good at this, or, you know, whatever. Whereas they might, you know, change what they're hearing. And again, same thing with the feelings. And there's all different kinds of techniques where you can have the person, a lot of times somebody is what we call associating. So they've got themselves there, you know, it could be in the future or the past. Like, let's just say you and I had a conversation and I feel like I said something stupid, right? And then I go away and I'm just so focused on, wow, that was stupid, right? Well, I'm associating. But if you get the person to dissociate, I would have you look at it as if it was a movie. Okay, tell me what happened. You know, maybe I would ask you to describe it in the third person, or to watch yourself. So there's different techniques to kind of get you into a different headspace to help you let go of it. And you know, there's a long laundry list of things that I can try with somebody depending on you know, how the person processes, and some things will work better for some people and others not so much. And so it's a little bit of trial and error, but it can be really effective in helping somebody, and really simple.
How does the process work when a client wants to engage with you? What does that look like, just from a logistical and practical point of view?
Yeah, so there's a questionnaire, short questionnaire they can fill out about what they want to work on. And then I would have a free discovery call with them, typically 30, 45 minutes, either a regular call or on Zoom. And then if we decide that it's a good match for us to work together, we would, you know, again, determine where the person wants to start. And the call, everything's virtual on Zoom. So I've worked with people all over, you know, even outside of the US. And typically calls are 1 hour. And we, again, we work, it depends on whatever the client wants to work on, their goals. And we figure out, you know, what's going on? Why aren't they, you know, where are they stopped? What, and try to help them have a breakthrough, work on action steps, accountability. And it's not, I don't have a cookie cutter approach. So it's not like there's, you know, you buy a program for me and in session one, it's this, session two, it's that. You know, it's really tailored to what I think the person needs. And a lot of what I do is very intuitive. And I encourage people that if, you know, they really want to get results, then they need to meet, you know, work with me more frequently. And but I don't pressure anybody. So if somebody wants fewer sessions or they want to space them out, that's fine. You know, I don't like to be pressured. So I don't pressure other people, but you know, if they really want, it's just like anything, you know, whatever you put into it is what you get out of it.
And how long typically do they engage with you for? Is it months? Is it, I mean, what was your longest term client?
Yeah. I mean, it could be one session. It could be 6 months. It could be, you know, somebody could decide that they have some things they want to work on and meet every week. And then once they get things under control, maybe they want to meet once a month just to sort of get a tune up, if you will. So it's really depends on what, you know, how much time the person has and what they want to work on.
Now, has your coaching always been virtual over Zoom, or is this a result of the pandemic?
No, it's virtual.
Okay, good. And tell me a little bit about hypnotherapy. When might you use that technique?
Yeah, so that, you know, it's funny. It's not as, since I think for some people it's scary. And when I first started learning it, you know, I kept laughing because there was this old episode of Gilligan's Island where Gillian accidentally gets hypnotized. And, you know, it's nothing, it is nothing like that. It's, you can't get hypnotized if you don't want to. Your subconscious will protect you. So basically, what you're trying to do is, you know, get somebody to relax, and then you know your conscious mind will get bored and check out, and you want to just talk to the subconscious. And the subconscious is only going to work with you if it wants to. So you really have to, you can't just go into hypnosis. You have to talk to somebody and find out what's going on. Like if somebody tells me, you know, let's just say they want to stop eating, you know, so much, but they find comfort in eating. If we don't get to that issue, they're not get the hypnosis is not going to work because their subconscious is not going to let them do it, you know. So we'd have to talk about other ways to find comfort or why does this give you comfort. But basically, it's just really a lot of visualization. I've had people say to me, you should just call this like meditation. It's, you know, because you're not in a trance, you have control the whole time. And it's really it's nice because you can combine it with the NLP, with powerful questioning. So you know, you can do it's like in some ways it's like cooking, you know, depending on what somebody needs, you can throw in different ingredients. I've had in the middle of a session with somebody where I just, you know, we're talking and all of a sudden I say, okay, I'm just gonna let me just do this like 10, for 10 minutes. Let's just see if we can talk to your, you know, your subconscious. I can record it for them and then send it to them and they can, people that really want to have results, you know, want to get a recording so they can listen to it every night, you know, because it takes a while. A lot of these things aren't just a one and done. You know, you gotta keep working on it and listen to it.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I'm sure with the pandemic, there's lots of issues that people are trying to confront and work on. So I'm sure that your ability to help them is really becoming more and more vital.
Yeah, I think there's some key things that are going to emerge or are already emerging. For example, you know, social anxiety issues. I know a lot of people also have gained weight, and they need to work on a healthier lifestyle or, you know, better self-image. As I mentioned before, some people really questioning their life. Am I in the right career? Am I with the right person? You know, are my relationships the way I want them to be? And then I think another really big thing is dealing with loss over this past year. And for some people, it's been job loss. Maybe they lost a loved one. Maybe their health, they had COVID and they've lost, like, you know, the good health they had. But I think everyone has lost way of life, you know? So there's been some kind of loss for everyone. And just, you know, dealing with that in coaching, again, you know, depending on what it is, therapy might be more appropriate. But if they're just focused more on strategies for moving forward, coaching could be really effective.
Great. That sounds terrific. I have one last question for you. Who's your favorite author and what book do you recommend?
Yeah. So I love a book called Broken Open by Elizabeth Lesser. She's at the Omega Institute. And that book was really life-changing for me. And ironically, my mother sent me years ago the first chapter of that book. It came in the mail, like she just photocopied, and there was some quote, I have it on my website, and I about, you know, how the risk to remain tight in the bud was greater than the risk it took to bloom. And I just love that quote, and I
I
think
love
it
that.
speaks to the way, you know, I live my life and the way that I want to help others.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us here on Healthcare Confidential, Phil Perry. Where can our listeners learn more?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been fun. And my website is coachingwithphil, that's phyl.com. so coachingwithphil.com, or they can call me at 302-514-7620. That's 302-514-7620.
Perfect. I want to remind our listeners that new Healthcare Confidential episodes are available on heliumradio.com on Mondays at 10 a.m. on the Care One Network and at 2 p.m. on the Life Improvement Radio Network. You can listen on demand wherever you access podcasts. Our show is produced by Life Improvement Media with thanks to Eric Wemmel and Justin Ulrich. Our theme song is an original composition written and performed by the multi-talented Patrick Pekorsik. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us your feedback and help us continue the conversation on the Healthcare Confidential Facebook page. Be well, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Helium Radio. The views expressed by show hosts or their guests are their own and should not be construed in any way as advice from Helium Radio. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our website. Personal perspectives expressed by producers, writers, and editors will always be presented as such. Any rebroadcast or retransmission without the express written consent of Helium Radio is strictly prohibited. Thanks for listening.